You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Some people fool others with the hypocrisy of their religion, but nobody fools the Lord. God judges our hearts.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
What can we as mortals give unto thee? By thy word the heavens were made. At thy command all of creation stood forth. And yet, O Lord, in our sinful pride and arrogance, we frequently question thy existence and doubt thy holy word. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Reject us not as we deserve. By thy power, O Lord, make us a repentant people. Draw us unto the atoning blood and healing wounds of thy Son Jesus. Focus our eyes upon the victory of the empty Easter tomb and anchor our hearts in the unshakable knowledge of life everlasting in the mansions of heaven. In Jesus' precious and powerful name we pray. Amen. Major magazines and newspapers now provide pages of summarized news and trends for those not wanting to read details. During the past months, these terse headlines in brief have painted a collage of increasing uncertainty in Canadian politics, in the United States economy, and the future in general. The well-known research firm of Yankelevich, Skelly, and White reported, and I quote, "The people of the United States are bleakly pessimistic. Americans are concerned about the nation's future, anxious about inflation, and skeptical about solving any of their major problems quickly," said one Atlanta-based economist. "In past years, we always felt that once we identified the problem, we would overcome it. Now we are looking at it and saying, I don't want to face the future." But not everyone is pessimistic, Paul Weiss, a professor for 24 years at Yale University, stated. "I don't see the nation on decline." And so who does one believe? College professors, economists, major research firms, and journalists frequently disagree. However, concern for the future has now affected so many people that various reputable organizations and respected institutions are spending large amounts of time and huge sums of money searching for answers. Several months ago, Time Incorporated, in a rare move, undertook a special project of researching current trends and future possibilities. Following extensive journalistic probing and research of the subject and their desire to reach the widest possible audience, they involved all of their publications, even those not concerned with public policy. The media-related organization published a report which revealed that there are indeed serious problems in finance, government, and the military. Unless changes are made, disastrous consequences will inevitably occur. However, the special report also strongly stressed, and I quote, "The need for renewal ranges well beyond economics, politics, and defense. It encompasses ethics, moral, social, and spiritual values." This surprising message, clearly sounded by the leaders of such a respected corporation, was simply this: "We do have problems with inflation, in government, and in the military, but the cause is deeply rooted and involves even our spiritual values. The perplexing situation we face today is neither new nor unique. History records other previous societies which encountered similar dilemmas. By studying them, we can learn much about our own condition, and we can also gain valuable insight concerning what may well happen in the future, based on alternate courses of action we yet have time to select." 7 centuries before Jesus was born, the prophet Amos from Judah took an urgent, distasteful, and unappreciated message to Israel. Amos warned that underneath its veneer of tranquility and below its surface of affluence, the nation was rapidly rotting. The people's once sincere commitment to God had faded. Religiosity and hypocrisy indeed abounded. Sincere religion was abandoned. The mere trappings of outward religiosity now replaced heartfelt repentance and dedication. As Isaiah powerfully prophesied, and as Jesus later objectively observed and sternly stated, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain," Jesus said, "they do worship me." Like Time magazine's report on conditions today, Israel's increasingly deteriorating condition and bleak future were a direct result of inner spiritual rot and devastating decay. Because of their blatant hypocrisy, God could have rejected the people He loved, but He didn't. In His grace and mercy, the Lord tried many things to get His people to turn back to Him. In Amos chapter 4 we read, "God sent a famine throughout the land. He caused a devastating drought by stopping the rain 3 months before the harvest. The Lord struck their fields with blight and mildew. He scorched their gardens. Locusts devoured the fig and olive trees. And yet, says the Lord, you have not returned to me." God forbid that we, with our 20th century pride and arrogance, would overlook these loving and gracious examples of divine attempts to draw His children back to Himself. Have you ever wondered why trials and problems arise in your life? The Bible proclaims, "Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives." But no event demonstrates more powerfully the mercy, the love, and the forgiveness God has for you and me than His gracious determination to have His Son violently put to death on a cruel cross. Realizing Jesus' innocence and reading the record of His cruel and painful death should strip away all our vain religiosity. May Jesus' innocent and sacrificial death on our behalf move us to say with the repentant thief crucified next to the Savior, "We will receive what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." In responding to God's love and forgiveness, which we do not deserve, may the Spirit convict us of our sins, lead us to true and sincere repentance, and cause us to prayerfully plead to the open ears of the Savior, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Yes, God is indeed a God of holiness and a God of wrath. But most important, God is a God of mercy. As you, by His power, confess to the insincerity of your superficial religion, your occasional attendance at His house of worship, your sporadic prayers, and your failure to study the Bible, He will accept your sincere expression of sorrow and heed your pleas. Yes, God will strengthen your weaknesses. He will refresh your faith. He will give you the unshakable knowledge that He is your loving Father and that He will do everything possible to ensure your earthly welfare and your heavenly salvation. Know for certain that God is your refuge and strength, your ever-present help in trouble. Even if the earth itself would change, you need not fear. God does not change. His love and mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Yes, indeed, there is a striking similarity between our present pseudo-religious society and the days of Amos the prophet. In many ways, it is incredible, but also extremely distressing. Outwardly, the people seem very religious and righteous. The Bible says they would bring sacrifices each morning. They would pay tithes each third day, burn thank offerings, advertise free will gifts, and all the while making sure everyone would hear about them. As the people demonstrated their blatant hypocrisy, the prophet Amos warned that they were piling up their sins, damming up the river of their own judgment. Isn't this the same type of religious hypocrisy being carried on in many areas today? Several months ago, the newspapers announced that more people than ever before now claim to be born again. Surveys constantly assure us that over 90% of the people believe in God. And yet, in the midst of this superficial, faddish, and trendy religion, divorce is on the rise. Living together outside of marriage is skyrocketing. Parents are increasingly abandoning their families. And now, rebellion by children toward parents and teachers is at an all-time high. Now, anyone seriously expressing concern over these trends I know is frequently dismissed as a hyperactive prophet of doom, someone who is overreacting to problems which have been around for centuries. But let me assure all who dismiss these concerns over lax morality that the information I have just referred to is the same as that which now fills pages and is on the front covers of some of our most respectable secular newspapers and magazines. These disturbing trends have also become the subjects of television specials. Let no one be fooled. The curse of sin has irreparably damaged the society in which we live. And like weeds, sin will always be around. However, the alarming thing is this. More and more it seems that an increasing number of people believe that they can become involved in open and willful sinning and still remain on acceptable terms with the Lord. Many believe a little religion on weekends or occasionally during the month will get them by. But don't you be fooled. God is not. The Bible warns, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." To claim to be religious and yet live in willful sin is a satanic illusion destined to end in eternal tragedy. Insincere religion, as one well-known theologian and Bible translator put it, is highly dangerous. This is, he said, trying to bribe God. No, God cannot be bought. He knows everything that goes on. He knows every detail in your life and mine. Job stated it this way. His eyes are on the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. Jesus reminded the Pharisees, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of man, but God knows your hearts." How is it in your life today? Are you living with one foot in comfortable religion, arranged by yourself, to fit your lifestyle, and the other foot in activity that you know in your heart is wrong and not God-pleasing? Do you go to church but engage during the week in gossip? Your religion having no effect on your daily life? Is your religion more lip service than of the heart? Never tempt the Lord or try to bribe Him. He is not some senile judge having poor eyesight and wearing a hearing aid. He is not an overworked spiritual IRS agent or an ecclesiastical tax collector who makes only random checks on his clients. Everyone's record, yours and mine, is written down in exact detail and is constantly before God. But in spite of our shameful hypocrisy and insincere religion, through the lips of Amos, God is pleading with us when he says, "Seek me and live." God is inviting you and me to learn of him, to learn of his mercy, his love, his strength, and his forgiveness. The Lord is near the brokenhearted, those truly repentant and sincerely sorry for their sins. God saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Let's be honest. And let it never be said or implied that no one today is seeking God. Many people are, but thousands are misdirected, take the wrong road, or look in the wrong places. News accounts periodically describe the activities of sun worshipers as they conduct their early morning rituals. Others hope to find God through philosophy. Still others hope for the ultimate truth in reason, logic, or even mathematics. Dr. Morris Klein, Professor Emeritus of Mathematics at New York University and Associate Editor of Mathematics Magazine, recently stated, "In the 17th and 18th centuries, most mathematicians were very religious. They believed that God designed the world mathematically and that they were uncovering the design." But then Dr. Klein goes on to point out, mathematics is a man-made artificial subject. It can make remarkably accurate predictions about physical phenomena, but it is not the truth. The Bible proclaims that long ago, God spoke the truth in many ways through his prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. God has, in a powerful way, revealed himself through his Son's birth in Bethlehem, in the Redeemer's death on the cross, and in the Messiah's triumphant resurrection from the tomb. Indeed, it is true. Few people would argue that one can see God's existence in a beautiful sunset. But we cannot see God's love in a sunset. We can realize God's power in the mountains, but not his love. We can see God's majesty in the universe, but not his love. After seeing sunsets, viewing mountains, and gazing at the universe, one can still hear God's plea echoing, "Seek me and live. Seek me and live." The Holy Scriptures proclaim in 1 John chapter 3, "We know God's love by this, that he laid down his life for us." The bloodstained cross is not a beautiful scene, but it demonstrates in a powerful way God's sacrificial love for you and me. Don't delay. Go to Calvary's cursed cross today. Gaze at Jesus as he looks with mercy to you and me and says, "Father, forgive them." By the power of the Holy Spirit, realize that Jesus purchased your redemption from sin and death, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood. Understand by faith that God loves you in spite of your failures. Accept by faith Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of David as your Lord, your Master, and your Savior from sin and death. Your past weeks, months, or even years may have been those of insincere religion. You've told others that you believe in God, but privately you realize in your heart that you have been living in willful sin. You claim to be a Christian, but the evidence of your life proves otherwise. Live no longer in the torture of two phony worlds. By the power of God's Holy Spirit, declare with confidence, "As for me, I will serve the Lord." The joyous news that Christ has burst death's doors after the crushing cruelties of the cross was a life-transforming message for the disciples of Jesus Christ. This same message can also be a powerful force in your life. Seek God and live. Seek to know Jesus more clearly as you diligently read and study the Holy Scriptures. Seek to know God more intimately as you approach his throne of mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.